Welcome. You are listening to Genesius Guild's classic drama On the Air. This is your host, Misha Hooker, bringing you an hour of audio-only theater. The Genesius Guild is a Quad Cities institution. Founded in 1956 by Don Wooten, the Guild has been producing classic theater every summer since then. Our normal core programming is live theater outdoors in Lincoln Park, next to Augustana College. All our performances are free to the public, and our organization welcomes newcomers both as audience and as participants. Although we had to cancel our planned 2020 season because of the COVID-19 crisis, at the time of this recording, we are hard at work getting ready for the summer of 2021. For more information on our past, present, and future, see the Genesius Guild website, genesius.org. Today's presentation is the first in our ongoing series of poetic drama by classic poets. Alfred, Lord Tennyson, is best known as one of the most popular 19th century British poets, the author of famous pieces such as Ulysses, Crossing the Bar, and his multi-part treatment of Arthurian legend, The Idylls of the King. Like many poets before and after, however, he also turned his hand to poetic drama, somewhat in the vein of Shakespeare. Although some works of this kind by poets like Byron, Shelley, and Keats were closet dramas, not meant to be staged, the majority of Tennyson's were indeed staged, and staged quite successfully. One of his shorter verse dramas, The Cup, retells a story from the times of the rise of Rome as the supreme power in the ancient Mediterranean world. In this story, the Galatians, a Celtic people akin to the Gauls but living in the interior of Asia Minor, the area now known as Turkey, are coming to terms with Rome's rise by way of resistance or accommodation. The proud heroine Camma resists Roman encroachment in the person of the turncoat Galatian leader Cynarix, but in the end her fate, and the fate of her people, is tragic. In this presentation, Camma is played by Denise Yoder, Cynarix by Aaron Sullivan, Sinitus by Jim Lula. The narrator is Elena Pascarella. Phoebe is played by Joey Stofan, a priestess by Zoe Grabo. Denise, Joey, Elena, and Zoe also together form the chorus of priestesses. An attendant is played by Nathan Elgation, a boy by Joseph Bodenbender, a maid by Katie Phillips. Antonius the Roman General is played by Brian Woods, Publius by Steve Trainer, a Galatian nobleman by Michael Callahan, and a messenger by Jacob Lund. The voices in this drama were recorded during the winter of 2020-21. We had no professional studio equipment, and because of COVID-19 and social distancing, everyone recorded themselves at home with whatever equipment they could find. But we are more than pleased to be presenting this drama to you. And now, without further ado, we bring you The Cup.
City of Galatia. As the curtain rises, priestesses are heard singing in the temple. A boy is discovered on a pathway among the rocks. A party of Roman soldiers guarding a prisoner in chains come down the pathway and exit. Enter Cynarix, looking around. The singing ceases.
Pine, beech, and plane, oak, walnut, apricot. Vine, cypress, poplar, myrtle, bowering in the city where she dwells. She passed me here 3 years ago when I was flying from my tetrarchy to Rome. I almost touched her, a maiden slowly moving on to music amongst her maidens to this temple. Oh, gods, she is my fate. Else wherefore has my fate brought me again to her own city, married Sinitus, the tetrarch here. But if he be conspirator, Rome will chain or slay him. I may trust to gain her then, when I shall have my tetrarchy restored by Rome, our mistress, grateful that I showed her the weakness and the dissonance of our clans, and how to crush them easily. Wretched race! And once I wish to scourge them to the bones. But in this narrow, breathing time of life, is vengeance for its own sake worth the while? If once our ends are gained, and now this cup. I never felt such passion for a woman.
He brings out a cup and scroll from under his cloak.
What have I written to her? To the admired Comma, wife of Senatus, the Tetrarch, one who years ago, himself an adorer of our great goddess Artemis, beheld you afar off worshipping in her temple, and loved you for it, sends you this cup, rescued from the burning of one of her shrines in a city through which he passed with the Roman army. It is the cup we use in our marriages. Receive it from one who cannot at present write himself other than a Galatian serving by force in the Roman legion. Boy, does thou know the house of Senatus?
These grapes are for the house of Senatus, close to the temple.
Yonder?
Yes?
That I, with all my range of women, should yet shun to meet her face to face at once. My boy, take thou this letter and this cup to Comma, the wife of Senatus.
Going or gone today to hunt with Senatus.
That matters not. Take thou this cup and leave it at her doors.
I will, my lord.
He takes his basket of grapes and exits. Enter Antonius.
Why, whither runs the boy? Is that the cup you rescued from the fire?
I sent it to the wife of Senatus, one half besotted in religious rites. You came here with your soldiers to enforce the long-withholden tribute. You suspect the Senatus of playing patriotism, which, in your sense, is treason. You have yet no proof against him. Now, this pious cup is passport to their house, and open arms to him who gave it. And once there, I warrant I'll warm through all their windings.
If you prosper, our Senate, wearied of their tetrarchies, their quarrels with themselves, their spites at Rome, is like enough to cancel them, and throne one king above them all, who shall be true to the Roman. And from what I heard in Rome, this tributary crown may fall to you.
The king? The crown? Their talk in Rome, is it so?
Antonius nods.
Well, I serve Galatia taking it, and save her from herself, and be to Rome more faithful than a Roman.
He turns and sees Comma coming.
Stand aside, here she comes.
He watches Comma as she enters with her maid.
Where is he, girl?
You know the waterfall that in the summer keeps the mountainside, but after rain o'erleaps a jutting rock and shoots 300 feet?
The stag is there?
Seen in the thicket at the bottom there, but yester-even.
Good then. We will climb the mountain opposite and watch the chase.
They descend the rocks and exit.
The bust of Juno, the brows and eyes of Venus, face and form unmatchable.
Why do you look at her so lingeringly?
To see if the years have changed her.
Love her, do you?
I envied Senatus when he married her.
She knows it?
She? No. Nor Ian knows my face.
Nor Senatus either?
No, nor Senatus.
Hot-blooded. I have heard them say in Rome that your own people cast you from their bounds for some unprincely violence to a woman, as Rome did Tarquin.
Well, if this were so, I here return like Tarquin for a crown.
And maybe foiled like Tarquin, if you follow not the dry light of Rome's straight-going policy, but the fool fire of love or lust, which well may make you lose yourself, may even drown you in the good regard of Rome.
Tut, fear me not. I ever had my victories among women. I am most true to Rome.
I hate the man. What filthy tools our Senate works with. Still, I must obey them. Farewell.
Farewell.
A moment. If you track the Senatus in any treason, I give you here an order to seize upon him. Let me sign it. There. Antonius, leader of the Roman legion.
He hands the paper to Cynarix, goes up pathway, and exits.
Woman again. But I am wiser now. No rushing on the game. The net. The net. He comes. A rough, bluff, simple-looking fellow. If we may judge the colonel by the husk, not one to keep a woman's fealty when assailed by craft and love. I'll join with him. I may reap something from him. Come upon her again. Perhaps today. Her. Who are with him? I see no face that knows me. Shall I risk it? I am a Roman now. They dare not touch me. I will.
Enter Senatus, huntsmen, and hounds.
Fair sir, a happy day to you. You reck but little of the Roman here while you take your pastime in the woods.
Aye, why not? What would you with me, man?
I am a lifelong lover of the chase, and though a stranger, fain would be allowed to join the hunt.
Your name?
Strato, my name.
No Roman name.
A Greek, my lord. You know that we Galatians are both Greek and Gaul.
Hello, the stag. What? Are you all unfurnished? Give him a bow and arrows. Follow, follow!
He exits, followed by the huntsman.
Slowly but surely, till I see my way. It is the one step in the darkness beyond our expectation that amazes us. Hello! Hello!
Exit Cynarix. Scene 2. A room in the Tetrarch's house. There are frescoed figures on the wall, moonlit outside. There is a couch with cushions on it, a small table with a flagon of wine, cups, plates of grapes, etc. Also, the cup of scene 1. Also, a chair with drapery on it. Kama enters and opens the curtains of the window.
No Senatus yet. And there is the rising moon.
She takes up a cithern and sits on court.
Moon on the field and the foam. Moon on the waste and the wold. Moon, bring him home, bring him home. Save from the dark and the cold. Home, sweet moon. The flock to the fold, save from the wolf. Is he coming yet? Oh, I thought I heard a footstep. No, not yet. They say that Rome sprang from a wolf. I fear that my dear lord mixed with some conspiracy against the wolf. This mountain shepherd never dreamed of Rome. Save from the wolf to the fold. And that great break of precipice that runs through all the wood, where 20 years ago huntsman and hound and deer were all neck broken. Oh, nay, here he comes.
Enter Senatus, followed by Cynarix.
I tell thee, my good fellow, my arrow struck the stag.
But was it so? Nay, you were further off. Besides, the wind went with my arrow.
I am sure I struck him.
I am just as sure, my lord, I struck him. And I may strike your game when you are gone.
Come, come, we will not quarrel about the stag. I have had a weary day in watching you. Yours must have been wearier. Sit and eat, and take the hunter's vengeance on the meat.
No, no. We have eaten. We are heated. Wine.
Who is our guest?
Strato, he calls himself.
Kama offers wine to Cynarix, while Senatus helps himself.
I pledge you, Strato.
And I you, my lord.
Senatus sees the cup sent to Kama.
What's here?
A strange gift sent to me today. A sacred cup saved from the blazing shrine of our great goddess in some city where Antonius passed. I had believed that Rome made war upon the peoples, not the gods.
Most like, the city rose against Antonius, whereon he fired it. And the sacred shrine, by chance, was burnt along with it.
Had you then no message with the cup?
Why, yes. See here.
to the admired Kama, beheld you afar off, loved you, sends you this cup, the cup we use in our marriages, cannot at present write himself other than a Galatian serving by force in the Roman legion. Serving by force? Were there no boughs to hang on? Rivers to drown in? Serve by force? No force could make me serve by force.
How then, my lord? The Roman is encamped without your city. The force of Rome, a thousandfold your own. Must all Galatia hang or drown herself? And you, a prince and tetrarch, in this province...
Province?
Well, they call it so in Rome.
Province!
A noble anger. But Antonios tomorrow will demand your tribute. You, can you make war? Have you alliances? Bithynia? Pontus? Paphlagonia? We have had our leagues of old with eastern kings. There is my hand, if such a league there be. What will you do?
Not set myself a brooch and run my mind out to a random guest who joined me in the hunt. You saw my hounds, true to the scent. And we have two-legged dogs among us who can smell a true occasion and when to bark and how.
My good lord Senatus, I once was at the hunting of a lion. Roused by the clamor of the chase, he woke, came to the front of the woods, his monarch mane bristling about his quick ears. He stood there, staring upon the hunter. A score of dogs gnawed at his ankles. At last he felt the trouble of his feet, put forth one paw, slew four, and knew it not, and so remained, staring upon the hunter. And this Rome will crush you if you wrestle with her. Then, save for some slight report in her own senate, scarce know what she had done. I would I could move him, provoke him anyway. The Lady Kama, wise as I'm sure she is beautiful, will close with me that to submit at once is better than a wholly hopeless war. Our gallant citizens murdered all in vain, son, husband, brother, gashed to death in vain. And the small state more cruelly trampled on than had she never moved.
Sir, I once had a boy who died a babe. But were he living and grown to man, and Senatus willed it, I would set him in the front rank of the fight with scarce a pang. Sir, if a state submit at once, she may be blotted out at once and swallowed in the conqueror's chronicle. Whereas in wars of freedom and defense, the glory and grief of battle won or lost solders a race together. Yea, though they fail, the names of those who fought and fell are like a bank of fire that flashed out again from century to century, and at last may lead them on to victory. I hope so, like phantoms of the gods.
Well spoken, wife!
Madam, so well I yield.
I should not wonder if Cynarix, who has dwelt 3 years in Rome and wrought his worst against his native land, returns with this Antonius.
What is Cynarix?
Galatian and not know? The Cynarix was tetrarch here, and tyrant also. Did dishonor to our wives.
Perhaps you judge him with feeble charity. Being, as you tell me, tetrarch, there might be willing wives enough to feel dishonor on her.
Do not say so. I know of no such wives in all Galatia. There may be courtesans, for aught I know, whose life is one dishonor.
Enter, attendant.
My lord, the men.
Our anti-Roman faction?
Aye, my lord.
I have enough. Their anti-Roman faction.
Some friends of mine would speak with me without. You, Strato, make good cheer till I return.
He exits.
I have much to say, no time to say it in. First, lady, know myself am that Galatian who sent the cup.
I thank you from my heart.
Then, that I serve with Rome to serve Galatia. That is my secret. Keep it, or you sell me to torment and to death. For your ears only, I love you. For your great love to the great goddess. The Romans sent me here to spy upon you, to draw you and your husband to your doom. I'd sooner die than do it. This paper, signed Antonius, Will you take it? Read it. There.
You are to seize on Senatus if...
No more. What follows is for no wife's eyes. Oh, comma, Rome has a glimpse of this conspiracy. Rome never yet hath spared conspirator. Horrible, flaying, scourging, crucifying.
I am tender enough. Why do you practice on me?
Why should I practice on you? How you wrong me? I am sure of being every way maligned, and if you should betray me to your husband...
Will you betray him by this order?
See, I tear it all to pieces, never dreamed of acting on it.
I owe you thanks forever.
Hath Senatus never told you of this plot?
What plot?
A child's sandcastle on the beach for the next wave. All seen, all calculated, all known by Rome. No chance for Senatus.
Why said you not as much to my brave Senatus?
Brave, aye, too brave, too overconfident, too like to ruin himself and you and me. Who else, with this black thunderbolt of Rome above him, would have chased the stag today and in full face of all the Roman camp? A miracle that they let him home again, not caught, maimed, blinded him. I have made her tremble. I know they mean to torture him to death. I dare not tell him how I came to know it. I durst not trust him with my serving Rome to serve Galatia. You heard him on the letter. Not say as much? I all but said as much. I am sure I told him that his plot was folly. I say it to you. You are wiser. Rome knows all, but you know not the savagery of Rome.
Oh, have you power with Rome? Use it for him.
Alas, I have no such power with Rome. All that lies with Antonius.
As if struck by a sudden thought, he comes over to her.
He will pass tomorrow, in the gray dawn, before the temple doors. You have beauty. Oh, great beauty. And Antonius, so gracious towards women, never yet flung back a woman's prayer. Plead to him. I am sure you will prevail.
Still, I should tell my husband.
Will he let you plead for him to a Roman?
I fear not.
Then do not tell him. Or tell him, if you will, when you return. When you have charmed our general into mercy and all is safe again. Oh, dearest lady, think torture, death, and come.
I will. And I will not betray you.
Enter Senatus and attendant.
Stand apart.
Thou art that Cynarix, one whom thou hast wronged without there knew thee with Antonius. They howl for thee, to rend thee head from limb.
I am much maligned. I thought to serve Galatia.
Serve thyself first, villain. They shall not harm my guest within my house. There, this door opens upon the forest. Out, be gone. Henceforth I am thy mortal enemy.
However, I thank thee. Thou hast saved my life.
Exit, Cynarix.
Return and tell them, Cynarix is not here.
Exit, attendant.
What did that villain Cynarix say to you?
Is he that Cynarix?
Wherefore should you doubt it? One of the men there knew him.
Only one, and perhaps he was mistaken in the face.
Come, could he deny it? What did he say?
What should he say?
What should he say, my wife? He should say this, that being Tetrarch, once his own true people cast him out from their doors like a base coin.
Not kindly to them?
Kindly. Oh, the most kindly prince in all the world. Would clap his honest citizens on the back. Bandy their own rude jests with him. Be curious about the welfare of their babes, their wives. Oh, aye, their wives. Their wives. What should he say? He should say nothing to my wife if I were by to throttle him. He steeped himself in all the lusts of Rome. How should you guess what manner of beast it is?
Yet he seemed kindly, and said he loathed the cruelties that Rome wrought on her vassals.
Did he? Honest man.
And you, that seldom brook the stranger here, have let him hunt the stag with you today.
I warrant you now. He said he struck the stag.
Why, no. He never touched upon the stag.
Or so I said, my arrow. Well, to sleep.
He goes to close the door.
Nay, close not yet the door upon a night that looks half day.
True. And my friends may spy him and slay him as he runs.
He's gone already. Now look, yon grove upon the mountain, white in the sweet moon as with a lovelier snow. But what a blotch of blackness underneath. Senatus, you remember, yea, you must, that there 3 years ago, the vast vine bowers ran to the summit of the trees and dropped their streamers earthward, which a breeze of May took ever and anon and opened out the purple zone of hill and heaven. There you told your love, and like the swaying vines, yea, with our eyes, our hearts, our prophet hopes let in the happy distance, and that all but cloudless heaven, which we have found together in our 3 married years. You kissed me there for the first time. Senatus, kiss me now.
First kiss. There then. You talk almost as if it might be the last.
Will you not eat a little?
No, no. We found a goatherd's hut and shared his fruits and milk. Liar! You will believe now that he never struck the stag. A brave one, which you shall see tomorrow.
I rise tomorrow in the gray dawn and take this holy cup to lodge it in the shrine of Artemis.
Good.
If I be not back in half an hour, come after me.
What? Is there danger?
Nay, none that I know. 'Tis but a step from here to the temple.
Oh, my brain is full of sleep. Wake me before you go, I'll after you. After me now.
He closes the door and exits. Kama draws the curtain.
Your shadow. Cynarix. His face was not malignant, and he said that men maligned him. Shall I go? Oh, shall I go? Death, torture. He never yet flung back a woman's prayer. I go, but I will have my dagger with me.
Scene 3. Scene. Same as scene 1. It is dawn. There is music and singing in the temple. Enter Cynarix watchfully. After him, Publius and soldiers.
Publius.
Here.
Do you remember what I told you?
When you cry, Rome, Rome, to seize on whomsoever may be talking with you, or man or woman, as traitors unto Rome.
Right. Back again. How many of you are there?
Some halt a score.
The soldiers and Publius leave.
I have my guard about me. I need not fear the crowd that hunted me across the wood last night. I hardly gained the camp at midnight. Will she come to me now that she knows me, Cynarix? Not if Senatus has told her all the truth about me. Well, I cannot help the mold that I was cast in. I fling all that upon my fate, my star. I know that I am genial. I would be happy, and make others happy so they do not thwart me. Nay, she will not come. Yet, if she be a true and loving wife, she may, perchance, to save this husband, aye. See my white bird stepping toward the snare. Why, now I count it all but miracle that this brave heart of mine should shake me so, as helplessly as some unbearded boy's when he first meets his maiden in a bower.
Enter Kama with the cup.
The lark first takes the sunlight on his wing. But you, twin sister of the morning star, forelead the sun.
Where is Antonius?
Not here as yet. You are too early for him.
She crosses towards the temple.
Nay. Whither go you now?
To lodge this cup within the holy shrine of Artemis, and so return.
To find Antonius here.
She goes into the temple. He looks after her.
The loveliest life that ever drew the light from heaven to brood upon her and enrich the earth with her shadow. I trust she will return. These Romans dare not violate the temple. No, I must lure my game into the camp. A woman I could live for, die for. What? Die for a woman? What new faith is this? I am not mad, not sick, not old enough to dote upon one alone. Yes, mad for her. Come of the stately. Come of the great-hearted. So mad I fear some strange and evil chance coming upon me. For by the gods, I seem strange to myself.
Re-enter Kama.
Where is Antonius?
Where? As I said before, you are still too early.
Too early to be here alone with thee. For whether men malign thy name or no, it bears an evil savor among women. Where is Antonius?
Madam, as you know, the camp is half a league without the city. If you will walk with me, we must needs meet Antonius coming, or at least shall find him there in the camp.
No, not one step with thee. Where is Antonius?
Then for your own sake, lady, I would say it with all gentleness, and for the sake of Sinitus, your husband, I must compel you.
Kama draws her dagger.
Stay. Too near is death.
Cynarix disarms her.
Is it not easy to disarm a woman?
Sinitus enters and seizes him from behind by the throat.
Rome! Rome!
Adulterous dog!
Cynarix stabs him with Kama's dagger.
What, will you have it?
Sinitus falls backward.
Have it in my heart. To the temple, fly for my sake, or they will seize on thee. Remember, away, farewell.
He dies. Kama runs up the steps to the temple, looking back.
Farewell.
The woman of the temple drag her in. Publius! Publius! No! Antonius would not suffer me to break into the sanctuary. She hath escaped. Adulterous dog! That red-faced raged at me. Then, with one quick, short stab, peace eternal. So end all passions. Then what use in passions? To warm the cold bonds of our dying life, and lest we freeze in mortal apathy, employ us, heat us, quicken us, help us, keep us from seeing all too near that urn, those ashes which all must be. Well used, they serve us well. I heard a saying in Egypt that ambition is like the sea wave, which the more you drink, the more you thirst. Yea, drink too much, as men have done on rafts of wreck, it drives you mad. I will be no such wreck, am no such gamester, as, having won the stake, would dare the chance of double or losing all. The Roman Senate, for which I always played into their hands, means me the crown. And Kama by my side. The people love her. If I win her love, they too will cleave to me as one with her. There then I rest, Rome's tributary king. Why did I strike him? Having proof enough against the man, I surely should have left that stroke to Rome. He saved my life, too. Did he? It seemed so. I would have played the sudden fool that sets her against me for the moment. Kama. Well, I never found the woman I could not force or wheedle to my will. She will be glad at last to wear my crown, and I will make Galatia prosperous too, and we will chirp among our vines and smile at bygone things till that eternal peace. Rome! Rome!
Enter Publius and soldiers.
Twice I cried, Rome. Why came ye not before?
Why come we now? Whom shall we seize upon?
The body of that dead traitor, Sinitus. Bear him away.
There is music and singing in the temple. Act 2, Scene 1. The interior of the Temple of Artemis. Small gold gates are seen on the platform in front of the veil before the colossal statue of the goddess. And in the center of the temple stands a tripod altar on which is a lighted lamp. Lighted lamps are suspended between each pillar. There are tripods, vases, garlands of flowers, etc. about stage, and an altar at the back, close to the goddess, with two cups. To solemn music, priestesses are decorating the temple. The chorus of priestesses sing as they enter.
Artemis, Artemis, hear us, O Mother, hear us and bless us. Artemis, thou that art life to the wind, to the wave, to the glip, to the far. Hear thy people who praise thee. O help us from all that oppress us.
From Cynarix, who has been so oft to see the priestess, waits once more before the temple.
We will let her know.
She signs to one of the priestesses, who goes out.
Since Kama fled from Cynarix to our temple, and for her beauty, stateliness, and power, was chosen priestess here, have you not marked her eyes were ever on the marble floor? Today they are fixed and bright. They look straight out. Has she made up her mind to marry him?
To marry him who stabbed her Sinatus? You will not easily make me credit that.
Ask her.
Enter Kama as priestess in front of the curtains.
You will not marry Cynarix.
My girl, I am the bride of death and only marry the dead.
Not Cynarix, then.
My girl, at times this oracle of great Artemis has no more power than other oracles to speak directly.
Will you speak to him, the messenger from Cynarix who waits before the temple?
Why not? Let him enter.
She comes forward onto the step by the tripod. Enter a messenger.
Greetings and health from Cynarix. More than once you have refused his hand. When last I saw you, you all but yielded. He entreats you now for your answer. When he struck at Sinatus, as I have many times declared to you, he knew not at the moment who had fastened about his throat. He begs you to forget it, as scarce his act, a random stroke. All else was love for you. He prays you to believe him.
I pray him to believe that I believe him.
Why, that is well. You mean to marry him?
I mean to marry him, if that be well.
This very day the Romans crown him king for all his faithful services to Rome. He wills you then this day to marry him, and so be thrown together in the sight of all the people, that the world may know you twain are reconciled, and no more feuds disturb our peaceful vassalage to Rome.
Today? Too sudden. I will brood upon it. When do they crown him?
Even now.
And where?
Here, by your temple.
Come once more to me, before the crowning. I will answer you.
Exit, messenger.
Great Artemis, O Kama, can it be well, or good, or wise, that you should clasp a hand red with the sacred blood of Sinatus?
Good! Mine own dagger, driven by Cynarix, found all good in the true heart of Sinatus, and quenched it there forever. Wise, life yields to death, and wisdom bows to fate, is wisest doing so. Did not this man speak well? We cannot fight imperial Rome, but he and I are both Galatian-born, and tributary sovereigns. He and I might teach this Rome, from knowledge of our people, where to lay on her tribute, heavily here and lightly there. Might I not live for that and drown all poor self-passion in the sense of public good?
I am sure you will not marry him.
Are you so sure? I pray you wait and see.
Cynarix!
Cynarix! Cynarix! Cynarix! So they cried Sinatus not so long since. They sicken me. One who shifts his policy suffers something, must accuse himself, excuse himself. The many will feel no shame to give themselves the lie.
Most like it was the Roman soldier shouted.
Their shield-bored patriot of the morning star hanged at midday. The traitor of the dawn that clamored darling of their afternoon. And that same head they would have played at ball with and kicked it featureless, they now would crown.
A flourish of trumpets. Enter a Galatian nobleman with a crown on a cushion.
Greeting and health from Cynarix. He sends you this diadem of the first Galatian queen that you may feed your fancy on the glory of it, and join your life this day with his, and wear it beside him on his throne. He waits your answer.
Tell him there is one shadow among the shadows, one ghost of all the ghosts, and yet so new, so strange among them, such an alien there, so much of my husband in it still, that if the shout of Cynarix and Kama sitting upon one throne should reach it, it would rise he, with that red star between the ribs, and my knife there, and blast the king and me, and blanch the crowd with horror. I dare not, sir, throne him, and then the marriage. Aye, and tell him that I accept the diadem of Galatia. Yea, that ye saw me crown myself withal.
She puts on the crown.
I wait him, his crowned queen.
So will I tell him.
He exits. Two priestesses go up the steps before the shrine, draw the curtains on either side, discovering the goddess, then open the gates and remain on the steps, one on either side, and kneel. A priestess goes off and returns with a veil of marriage, then assists Phoebe to veil Kama. At the same time, priestesses enter and stand on either side of the temple. Kama and all the priestesses kneel, raise their hands to the goddess, and bow down. All rise.
Fling wide the doors and let the new-made children of our imperial mother see the show.
Sunlight pours through the doors.
I have no heart to do it. Look for me.
She crouches. Phoebe looks out.
He climbs the throne. Hot blood, ambition, pride so bloat and redden his face. Oh, would it were his third last apoplexy. Oh, bestial. Oh, how unlike our goodly Sinitus.
You wrong him, surely. Far as the face goes, a goodlier looking man than Sinitus.
How dare she say it? I could hate her for it, but that she is distracted.
Is he crowned?
Aye, there they crown him.
A priestess brings a box of spices to Kama, who throws them on the altar flame.
Rouse the dead altar flame. Fling in the spices, nard, cinnamon, amomum, benzoin. Let all the air reel into the mist of odor, as in the midmost heart of paradise. Lay down the Lydian carpets for the king. The king should pace on purple to his bride, and the music there to greet my lord the king. Dost thou remember when I wedded Sinitus? Aye, thou wast there. Whether from maiden fears or reverential love for him I loved, or some strange second sight, the marriage cup, wherefrom we make libation to the goddess, so shook within my hand that the red wine ran down the marble and looked like blood. Like blood.
I too remember your first marriage fears.
I have no fears at this my second marriage. See here, I stretch my hand out and hold it there. How steady it is.
Steady enough to stab him.
Oh, hush. Oh, peace. This violence ill becomes the silence of our temple. Gentleness, low words best chime with this solemnity.
Enter a procession of priestesses and children bearing garlands and golden goblets and strewing flowers. Enter Cynarix as king with a gold laurel wreath, crown, and purple robes. Followed by Antonius, Publius, noblemen, guards, and the populace.
Hail, king!
Hail, queen! The wheel of fate has rolled me to the top. I would that happiness were gold, that I might cast my largesse of it to the crowd. I would that every man made feast today, beneath the shadow of our pines and plains, for all my truer life begins today. The past is like a traveled land now sunk below the horizon, like a barren shore that grew salt weeds, but now all drowned in love and glittering at full tide, the bounteous bays and havens filling with a blissful sea. Nor speak I now too mightily, being king and happy, happiest lady in my power to make you happy.
Yes, sir.
Our Antonius, our faithful friend of Rome, though Rome may set a free foot where she will, yet of his courtesy entreats he may be present at our marriage.
Let him come, a legion with him, if he will. Welcome, my lord Antonius, to our temple. You on this side the altar, you on that. Call first upon the goddess, Cynarix.
All face the goddess. Priestesses, children, populace, and guards kneel. The others remain standing.
O thou, that dost inspire the germ with life, the child, a thread within the house of birth, and give him limbs, then air, and send him forth to the glory of his father. Thou whose breath is balmy wind to robe our hills with grass, and kindle all our vales with myrtle blossom, and roll the golden oceans of our grain, and sway the long grape bunches of our vines, and fill our hearts with fatness and the lust of plenty, make me happy in my marriage.
Artemis, Artemis, hear him, Ionian Artemis.
O thou that slayest the babe within the womb, or in the being born, or after slayest him as boy or man, great goddess, whose storm voice unsockets the strong oak and rears his root beyond his head, and strows our fruit and lays our golden grain and runs to sea and makes it foam over all the fleeted wealth of kings and peoples, hear, whose arrow is the plague, whose quick flash splits the mid-sea mast and rifts the tower to the rock, and hurls the victor's column down with him that crowns it. Hear, who causes the safe earth to shudder and gape, and gulf and flatten her in her closing chasm, domed cities. Hear, whose lava torrents blast and blacken a province to a cinder. Hear, whose winter cataracts find a realm and leave it a waste of rock and ruin. Hear, I call thee to make my marriage prosper to my wish.
Artemis, Artemis, hear her, Ephesian Artemis. Artemis, Artemis, hear me, Galatian Artemis.
I call on our own goddess in our own temple.
Artemis, Artemis, hear her, Galatian Artemis.
All rise.
Thunder. Aye, the storm was drawing hither across the hill when I was being crowned. I wonder if I look as pale as she.
Art thou still bent on marrying?
Surely, yet these are strange words to speak to Artemis.
Words are not always what they seem, my king. I will be faithful to thee till thou die.
I thank thee, Kama. I thank thee.
Antonius, much graced are we that our queen Rome in you deigns to look in upon our barbarisms.
She turns, goes up the steps to the altar before the goddess, takes a cup from off the altar, holds it towards Antonius. Antonius goes up to the foot of the steps, opposite to Cynarix.
You see this cup, my lord?
Most curious. The many-breasted mother Artemis embossed upon it.
It is old. I know not how many hundred years. Give it me again. It is the cup belonging to our temple.
She puts it back on the altar and takes up the cup of Act One, showing it to Antonius.
Here is another sacred to the goddess. A gift of Cynarix. And the goddess, being for this most grateful, wills through me her priestess, in honor of his gift and of our marriage, that Cynarix should drink from his own cup.
I thank thee, Kama. I thank thee.
For, my lord, It is our ancient custom in Galatia that ere two souls be knit for life and death, they two should drink together from one cup in the symbol of their married unity, making libation to the goddess. Bring me the costly wines we use in marriages.
They bring in a large jar of wine. Kama pours the wine into the cup.
See here? I fill it. Will you drink, my lord?
I? Why should I? I'm not to be married.
But that might bring a Roman blessing on us.
Thy pardon, priestess.
Thou art in the right. This blessing is for Cynrix and for me. See, first I make libation to the goddess. And now I drink. Thy turn, Galatian king. Drink, and drink deep. Our marriage will be fruitful. Drink, and drink deep, and thou wilt make me happy.
Cynrix goes up to her. She hands him the cup. He drinks.
There, Kama. I have almost drained the cup. A few drops left.
Libation to the goddess.
He throws the remaining drops on the altar and gives Kama the cup. Kama places the cup on the altar.
Why, then the goddess hears.
She comes down and forward to the tripod. Antonius follows.
Antonius, where wast thou on the morning when I came to plead to thee for Senatus's life, beside this temple half a year ago?
I never heard of this request of thine.
Cynrix comes forward hastily to the foot of the tripod steps.
I sought him and could not find him. Pray you, go on with the marriage rites.
Antonius, Kama, who spake?
Not I.
Nor any here.
I am all but sure someone spake, Antonius. Antonius, if you had found him plotting against Rome, would you have tortured Senatus to death?
No thought was mine of torture or of death, but had I found him plotting, I had counseled him to rest from vain resistance. Rome is fated to rule the world. Then, if he had not listened, I might have sent him prisoner to Rome.
Why do you palter with the ceremony? Go on with the marriage rites.
They are finished.
How?
Thou hast drunk deep enough to make me happy. Dost thou not feel the love I bear to thee glow through thy veins?
The love I bear to thee glows through my veins since first I looked upon thee. But wherefore slur the perfect ceremony? The sovereign of Galatia weds his queen. Let all be done to the fullness in the sight of all the gods. Nay, rather than so clip the flowery robe of Hymen, we would add some golden fringe of gorgeousness beyond old use, to make the day memorial. When Cynrix, first king, Kama, first queen of the realm, drew here the richest lot from fate to live and die together. This pain. What is it? Again. I had a touch of this last year. In Rome. Yes. Yes. Your arm. A moment. It will pass. I reel beneath the weight of utter joy. This all too happy day. Crown queen at once.
He staggers.
Oh, ye gods! Jupiter! Jupiter!
He falls backward.
Dost thou cry out upon the gods of Rome? Thou art Galatian born. Our Artemis has vanquished their Diana.
I am poisoned. She! Close the temple door. Let her not fly.
Have I not drunk from the same cup with thee?
Aye. By the gods of Rome and all the world, she too. She too. The bride. The queen. And I. Monstrous. I that loved her.
I loved him.
Oh, murderous madwoman. I pray you, lift me up and make me walk a while. I have heard these poisons may be walked down.
Antonius and Publius raise him up.
My feet are tons of lead. They will break into the earth. I am sinking. Hold me. Nay, let me alone.
They leave him. He sinks down on ground.
Too late. Thought myself wise. A woman's dupe. Antonius, tell the Senate I have been most true to Rome. Would have been true to her if...
He falls as if dead. Kama comes and leans over him.
So falls the throne of an hour.
Throne? Is it thou? The fates are thrown, not we. Not guilty of ourselves. Thy doom and mine. Thou, coming my way too, Kama. Good night.
He dies.
Thy way. Poor worm. Crawl down thine own black hole to the lowest hell. Antonius, is he there? I meant thee to have followed. Better thus. Nay, if my people must be thralls of Rome, he is gentle, though a Roman.
She sinks back into the arms of the priestesses.
Thou art one with thine own people. Though a Roman, I forgive thee, Kama.
Kama, why there again? I am most sure that someone called. O women, ye will have Roman masters. I am glad I shall not see it. Did not some old Greek say death was the chief good? He had my faith for it, poisoned. Have I the crown on? I will go to him, to meet him, crowned, crowned victor of my will. On my last voyage. But the wind has failed. Growing dark, too. But light enough to row. Row to the blessed isles. The blessed isles. Sinitus! Why comes he not to meet me? Is the crown offends him? My hands are too sleepy to lift it off.
Phoebe takes the crown off.
Who touched me then? I thank you.
She rises with outspread arms.
There. League on league of ever-shining shore beneath an ever-rising sun. I see him. Kama, Kama. Sinitus, Sinitus.
She dies.
This has been Genesius Guild's classic drama, On the Air. Join us next time for more. Many thanks to those whose contributions have made this possible. Sound effects were by Mike Koenig, Dominic Trays, the BBC, and Misha Hooker. The opening, closing, and between-scenes music was Brahms' Tragic Overture, Opus 81, performed by the Czech National Symphony Orchestra. The theme music for the entire program was Chopin's Waltz in A-flat Major, Opus 69, No. 1, performed by Olga Gurievich. Original music was composed and performed by Denise Yoder and Misha Hooker. Thanks especially to the performers whose voices you have been hearing on this broadcast, Elena Pascarella as the narrator, Jacob Lund as the messenger, Michael Callahan as a Galatian nobleman, Steve Trainer as Publius, Brian Woods as Antonius, Katie Phillips as a maid, Joseph Bodenbender as a boy, Nathan Elgation as an attendant, Joey Stofen as Phoebe, Zoe Grabo as a priestess, Jim Lula as Sinitus, Aaron Sullivan as Sinerix, and Denise Yoder as Kama. Zoe Grabo, Joey Stofen, Denise Yoder, and Elena Pascarella sang as the chorus of priestesses. This is your host, Misha Hooker, signing off until next time.